Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, Sport City. Week 11. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay, enough, Hove. I got it from here, man. You already know what time it is. It's boy TP Timeless at the helm. The calling number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or so in Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. It's your boy Tyrone Powell, and we are back in the building. And it's an unfortunate situation in the world that we are dealing with the COVID-19, a.k.a. the coronavirus situation. So a lot of games and things and events have been either slowed or minimized, participation. I can't even talk this morning. But we do still have games and events that still have gone on, and it's enough to feed us for the morning or the afternoon that, or however you are in place in the world or across the country, however it may be. But top 25, a lot of interesting things, news and things of that nature, especially in the NBA with the draft going by and the free agency as well. And I've been getting all types of texts and messages about my team being an Oklahoma City Thunder guy, as you guys know here. That basically the whole team has been dismantled. The only one left standing is Shea. I'm waiting for my co-host to get here. I will dump into a lot of the interesting things before I can get him in here as well, including some of the moves that have been made in the free agency, including, you know, you got Dwight Howard leaving L.A., going to Philly after winning a championship. You have Rajon Rondo leaving L.A. after winning a championship and going to the Atlanta Hawks. You have, it seems like now all of a sudden in 2020 or entering 2021, the New York Knicks are now playing hardball and trying to bring pieces there. They're getting players and interesting pieces to help this Knicks team out, especially what they were able to attain in the draft as well, too. So there's a lot of interesting things going on NBA-wise as well. MMA, there was not too much. There was I think this is a featherweight fight, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to butcher his last name. Is Figueroa. I may be saying it wrong, but he won in the first round in a guillotine choke up against Perez, maintaining the hold on to his belt 20-1, and Perez moved to 24-6 and losing that fight. We have some interesting fights coming up in the month of December, which I'm hoping things will go clean in Las Vegas, because I think a couple of these events do take place in Vegas when I'm out there on the week of December 12th. But that was the big fight in MMA, especially with the news that's going around with Buckley and the way that he's been knocking people out. The knockout that he had last night was incredible, especially after the roundhouse one-foot hold kick that he had. He follows it up with a two-piece biscuit knockout. If you didn't see it, you have to watch this fight and the way he was able to take care of business. He is the new guy. And the crazy part about it is that he is actually – I don't want to say he's hiding it, but he actually has a regular job. And this guy is making a name for himself, and they're basically saying that he probably won't have that job any longer because he's going to end up being a fan favorite and probably making his way up to, you know, bigger ranks and bigger fish to fry. But he works at Walgreens. And he's a knockout artist. So it's like you never know who you can end up bumping into at the end of the day as this stuff goes on. But that's what I have quickly, MMA. I don't know if I wanted to get anything else early before I get him in here as well. But I do want to get into the NBA as best as possible. This one stunned me, people. And I feel a certain way about this. Gordon Hayward basically turning down the deal that he was offered from the Celtics and ended up going to Jordanville, a.k.a. Charlotte, and getting a $120 million deal over 4 years. Now, this is the one thing that bothers me about the Gordon Hayward deal. He is injury-prone, and he also made his way back off of a compound fracture. I don't know if I'm saying that right, to his lower leg or extremity. I think his ankle and, you know, he had to, it looked like a similar injury to what Dak Prescott went to. I don't have the specifics of what broke, but it broke. He was out for a full season. He's been injury prone throughout his career, spending time in Utah, missing time in Utah, especially missing time in Boston, especially with the leg injury that I'm mentioning now. He missed time after the leg injury as well. And for him to end up getting a deal to come to Charlotte and ended up getting the money that makes him look like he's one of the potential men of this team, I question it. And it's a four-year deal, and he's actually aging. I don't want to say he's an old player, but he's getting up there. So I don't know if he has it in his tank to take on the rest of the Eastern Conference for the money that they're dumping into him. And just think, the Brooklyn Nets are getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You have, just like I mentioned before, the Hawks are putting pieces there, which bothers me that Gallinari is actually leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they were able to bring him to Atlanta. Rajon Rondo's in Atlanta, so they have a young core in Atlanta, too, with a lot of the rookies and young players that came to the Atlanta Hawks. The Heat are retooling. I don't know if this is the move to get Charlotte, I want to say, in the middle of the hunt in the Eastern Conference. I think they'll more or less be a playoff team, but I still think they'll continue to, you know, probably be a 6, 7, 8 seed in the Eastern Conference, to say the least. But whatever he's able to do to get his money, I don't count people's money. I mean, do what you got to do. But this is a questionable move for me, for, you know, the Hornets and the Michael Jordan organization, especially with the names that they were able to pull in. Also, I would think they would want to bring more pieces in, especially a quality big, to help them in the Eastern Conference. Because in the Eastern Conference altogether, the NBA is guard heavy. And he's more or less a shooting guard, small forward. He's going to play those positions. So he will be attacked. So this is something that Charlotte's going to have to address. I think that the pick that they were able to get with LaMelo Ball was huge for them. But I don't know. I'm not easy with the situation in Charlotte. The one thing that actually had me at the edge of my seat was Serge Ibaka as well. Serge Ibaka is actually leaving Toronto and going to the Los Angeles Clippers to help the Clippers out. And interesting enough, this is him rejoining Kawhi Leonard. So as you know, a year ago, the Toronto Raptors won the championship up against the Golden State Warriors, and they were together then, pairing up with the defensive anchor of the ball, even though they tried to put Gasol in those situations. But I feel like they were more effective with Serge Ibaka playing defense on the defensive side of the ball. They bring him there to help on the likes of him, Paul George, and others. But I'm still questioning the core of the Clippers, because now they're going to have a new coach. This is all a new system. If they have a chip on their shoulder, there's already players on that team that feel a certain way about Paul George, the way that he addressed the media. So I'm bothered by this situation. I'm hoping that this does pan out for the Clippers. But Serge Ibaka is an interesting piece. He can shoot the ball as a four. He can stretch the floor. He also is a shot blocker, rim protector. You need that. That's like a lost art in the basketball form. I think this helps the Clippers. But, again, offensively, they have to be a cohesive unit. It can't just be Kawhi and Paul George trying to be the ammunition and Lou Williams being the sixth man and him being the ammunition. So more or less it being those three guys, the scoring power for the Clippers. And speaking of the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell more or less switches locker rooms. He goes from the Clippers to the Lakers, same building, and just watching the organization be frustrated with him making that move. But it was a 2-year deal, and I don't know if this is more or less something for his better interest, i.e. the ring-chasing mentality, or if this was just something to feed his family. But you're in the same city. I don't think anything changes. I think this is the ring-chasing mentality, and this is the era of, I want to say, the latter part or the early 2000s on up, you know, this powerhouse teams and, you know, ring chasing, things of that nature. So Montrezl Harrell makes the move to the Clippers. I mean, I get it. And this is all in limbo on what Anthony Davis is able to do. Anthony Davis declined his option, making him a free agent. But I think he'll end up turning around and coming right back to the Los Angeles Lakers organization. I think this would be a big deal while LeBron is entering year 36 of his life. He'll be 36 in December. So I really think LeBron had I feel like he's older whenever he says stop, but like I barely want to see him. But in his mindset, I think he has about like 2 to 4 years left of playing NBA basketball. But it may be more. I don't know if he's chasing 7, 8, not 9, not 10. I don't know if that's his mindset. But I know that after he leaves, L.A. will end up belonging to Anthony Davis. If that's if he does stay in L.A., which I think that would be the ultimate plan to end up getting a max contract and ending up being the guy in L.A. while he's with LeBron and ending up there while LeBron is gone. But this is how it's going down in L.A. And this is funny. How do I say it? Like the last 6 years, all the partying been going on in California for basketball. It's basically been Golden State for the past 5 years. The Lakers get the party this year. I mean, at least Golden State lost like 2 of those finals out of the last 5, but you got the Lakers winning 2. Like, all the basketball looking like it's in the state of California. Somebody has to upend this situation, at least in the Western Conference. We also have Carmelo Anthony signing another 1-year deal with the Portland Trailblazers. Interesting enough, he was able to get a deal. I think it may be for a minimum, but the best thing about it is, and at one point it was like, because he was with the Thunder, so I'm up here like, I don't like the fact that he's not playing defense. He's able to come to Portland and make a difference and not be the defensive liability that he looked like, you know, in his latter part of the years in New York, and also being with the Oklahoma City Thunder for that 1-year run where he wasn't playing defense at all. At least he's somewhat trying. But they got him for a 1-year league minimum deal, and we'll see if he can continue to do these 1 years. I mean, as long as he's able to play, because you can see the frustration that I really feel like he wanted to have some type of a long leaving situation of like a farewell tour, so on and so forth, with him leaving in the correct manner. But it's funny that Carmelo has to go through this, especially Western Conference wise, and you. I don't really want to say he's ring chasing. They do have power there with him, CJ, Dame Dollar. They were able to get Enes Kanter as well to come back in a deal that, and it's been mayhem with this free agency. You don't even understand how many moves have gone on, and especially with the Thunder. It was a funny joke that was cracked, and they said there's probably going to be one draft where the Thunder have the whole first round all to themselves, because it's literally like Sam Presti is getting every pick possible. So I don't even know if this is what I can consider a rebuild. I feel like this is just like a move. like I can't even look at this as a rebuild. So, but it's interesting to see that the Thunder were able to get all of these picks across the board. But like I said, Enes Kanter was able to move from Boston to Portland again. He's back there with Nurkic, and knowing Nurkic has his injury history after, you know, having the ankle injury, and last year he missed a good portion of the season as well. They have another quality big. Collins was actually out for some time too. Not really sure on what the Whiteside situation may be. But this is the situation that Portland has. I don't know if Portland has the will to win the Western Conference. I feel like they'll be a heavy name. They got guys that can score the ball, and CJ Dame and Carmelo. If Carmelo's hot, he's streaky. Like, it'll be a game where he'll have his game, and some games he'll just be a one-digit wonder. So they'll be a name in the Western Conference, but I don't think they'll be a team to get to the Western Conference Finals. If they do, if the Blazers get to the Western Conference Finals, I think they can push the envelope to get to the Finals, but I don't think they have what it takes to knock off the Lakers. I don't. As of right now, with the Lakers tooling and putting all type of people in play and making the right moves to accommodate LeBron and AD, it's tough to say that the only team I could feel like that can knock them off in the Western Conference would be the Clippers, but the Clippers are in their own way. They're in their own way. Once they can figure out, you know, team togetherness and trying to accomplish the goal without being Superman hero ball, that's when I feel like the Clippers will have it. But LeBron has that experience. Kawhi does have that experience, but he's more a humble, quiet guy to me. I don't think he addresses that team like, let's get going. I mean, in a huddle, probably on the sideline, maybe, but I don't think he's that guy behind the scenes and pulling strings. But we'll see. I want to see if they are able to get this to go. It's an unfortunate situation that they were able to get knocked off after having a 3-1 lead, especially being in the bubble and watching Denver storm back and knocking off the the way that it was supposed to be at the beginning of the season. I thought it was going to be the battle of L.A. I thought it was going to be Clippers versus Lakers in the Western Conference and seeing LeBron and Kawhi go at it. And unfortunately, the Clippers fell flat. I don't want to put this on one person in the Clippers organization, but I'll just say for the least bit, the Clippers fell flat. I am trying to get more of the free agency moves that were made because there were a ton of them. I mean, I can speak from the team that I follow, and I try to stay my best away from it. You also have Paul Millsap signed a one-year deal to stay with the Nuggets. We also had Steven Adams get moved in an interesting trade to the New Orleans Pelicans to help Zion and Ball out, Lonzo Ball. I can't just say one Ball because there's two of them in the league now. So to help Lonzo Ball, J.J. Redick, and Zion Williamson down there in New Orleans. It's interesting to see what the Pelicans are going to do because they have a new assistant coach in Teresa Weatherspoon. Shout out to her being a member of the WNBA basketball team with the New York Liberty. She's now an assistant down there. You also have Jay Crowder, who actually went to the Phoenix Suns in a three-year deal to help out Devin Booker and Chris Paul, as Chris Paul was actually pulled away from the Oklahoma City Thunder organization as well. This is huge all across the board with these pieces being moved to help these teams out. DJ Augustin and Bobby Portis are actually going to the Milwaukee Bucks. And this is the one thing that I'm thinking about with the Milwaukee Bucks. Where do they go from here? They continue to win in the Eastern Conference as best as possible. But I don't think they have what it takes to, you know, more or less get to the Eastern Conference and win the East. Giannis is a problem, but it's funny that Giannis is not able to take on the powers by himself, like, and more or less in a playoff run. In a game-by-game situation, he's able to win these games, but when it comes to the playoffs, it's like when they focus on him, force him to be a shooter, keep him out of the paint, it becomes difficult. Yeah, he may be an MVP, but I don't know where he is to make a difference in the Eastern Conference. I think his time may be up to win the East. Like I said, Kyrie and KD are coming now. Boston is retooling. You can't even forget about Boston with Kemba and Tatum. I can't say the Knicks at all, or the Pacers. I can't say them at all. The Heat made an interesting run with Jimmy Butler and crew, and the shooters that they have in Duncan Robinson and Goran Dragic as well, and also Tyler Harrell. But I don't think they will win a championship. They can be Eastern Conference contenders, I will say that, but I don't think they're NBA Finals ready. So that is one move that I'm concerned about in the East. Also, like I said, with the Celtics, Tristan Thompson actually is leaving his long run with the Cleveland Cavaliers and going to Boston as well to help that team out. At least they have a big that can rebound. He's not a scorer, but he can definitely get to the glass. And I feel like he may – and that's the one thing about sports in general. Like, I don't like the fact that – but, I mean, the people are people at the end of the day. But – they go after players in any sport that have won. Like, if they got a championship, it's like, okay, they're going to bring that championship attitude, that aura, and that's going to help us get over the hump. I don't think he's that guy that, you know, has them thinking like, oh, well, Tristan's been to the finals with LeBron. He's bringing that mojo to help us get over the hump. I don't think he's that guy. But they do have interesting pieces in Boston, and Brown, Tatum, Kemba. They just got rid of Hayward. I think that's a tough loss. But they have to go on. I still feel like they got enough weapons to contend in the Eastern Conference. Hey, I feel like they're Eastern Conference contenders too, but they have Tristan Thompson coming here also. So, in a nutshell, this is what I have free agency-wise. The draft was crazy. You have Anthony Edwards. He went to the Minnesota Timberwolves. First pick, LaMelo Ball, like I mentioned previously, was the second pick going to Charlotte. And I like what Charlotte was able to do. Oh, excuse me, the third pick, he went to Charlotte. Wiseman actually went to Golden State as the second pick, and they're getting a big. And the bad part about the Golden State Warriors with Wiseman going there was Klay Thompson suffering a season-ending injury, tearing his Achilles after already trying to come back after tearing an ACL in his left leg. He tore the Achilles in his right leg. This bothers me. Because I'm more or less in a situation where I look at Klay Thompson, and he's a powerhouse shooter. Like, I want to see people defeat him. I don't want to see him lose injured. Like I just feel awkward. Like, I feel like he's being robbed. Like, competitive-wise, and I look at him as a rival is one thing, but, like, this is the same breath that I look at Kobe Bryant. The way Kobe broke down is the way I didn't want to see Kobe leave the game. He had the Achilles, he had the shoulder, he had the leg. Kobe started breaking down because he was putting so many miles on the body. And I don't know if that's the same situation or the same thing I could say about Clay, but Clay was playing year after year in NBA final after NBA final. And things are starting to break down, and he's a jump shooter, and one leg is his ACL, the other one is his Achilles. I feel bad because I don't want this to hamper his game, but this can be something that can slow him down. So he's going to be out for the entire season, and him missing back-to-back seasons is heavy in itself for the Golden State Warriors. And the crazy part about it is once KD left, once Clay got injured, you looked at Steph Curry and was like, well, Steph is going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And Steph took an interesting fall. He wasn't tripped up as bad as it was made out to be, but he broke his hand. Now you got an aging Steph Curry that missed a good portion of last season, having to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And you know, a lot of these teams can't wait to tee off on him for the fun that he was having and doing shimmies and dances after he was hitting threes. Now it's him and Draymond and Wiggins having to do a lot of this work. And like I said, mentioning the rookie Wiseman at the big, the center position to help out. But I don't look at the Warriors being a team to win the West. If they had Clay there, I think they can contend. But they got two shooters, they can stretch the floor, take care of business, do a lot of damage. But I think that this is a situation that may be far too deep for the Golden State Warriors. But just like I said on the show on the Cookout Wednesday evening, I want to see Steve Kerr end up being that guy as supposedly the coach of the year or coach of the year candidate year by year. I think it's more or less the talent and the tools that he had around him within the organization that helped him look good. But that is still Mark Jackson's. People won't give Mark Jackson that credit. They're still blackballing him, things of that nature. Okay, so we do have the co-host in the building. We have Eric Rose in the building. Eric, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, good morning, Ty. I'm feeling great. Happy to be up in the kitchen and ready to get this kitchen started.
Okay, so from what you've heard so far, your thoughts on the free agency buzz and anything from the draft that may have caught your eye or anything that I mentioned before we get moving from here?
Yeah, just we'll go quick on here. LaMelo Ball, I think, is the biggest one for me. You know, like I said, I think he's going to end up being the best Ball brother when it's all said and done. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do there in Charlotte. You know, he potentially has that's going to be his team. So, and they have a nice young core that they've started to, you know, put around them that they've already had in place. So I'm looking forward to watch the Charlotte Hornets this year. It's going to be exciting to see them. And as far as, you know, Golden State, I think their reign is done, man. It's over. Klay Thompson, you know, it's very unfortunate, but he's never going to be the same player that we were accustomed to seeing. These are two devastating injuries to come back from. You're missing two full seasons. And Steph Curry as well with that hand injury. You know, we're not going to see the Steph of old. They're starting to crumble now. So, you know what I mean? The Warriors' reign is over, and there's a lot of other teams emerging now in the West. So you're going to have to contend with the Lakers and the Clippers and the Nuggets, and they just don't have the firepower. And Steve Kerr, I agree with you 100%, Ty. That's Mark Jackson built that team. So we saw what Mr. Kerr did last year, and I'm a firm believer coaches like Greg Popovich, like real good coaches, he would have done better with that team last year than Steve Kerr did. So I think the reign is over. So
how about this? I'm going to ask you an interesting question. Who will have the better season, the Golden State Warriors or the Phoenix Suns?
The Phoenix Suns, bro, are going to have the better season.
And it's interesting because you got Devin Booker and CP3 there together. So I feel like that may be an interesting move with them being in the Western Conference. Also, with you got Portland out there in the West. This is the one thing about the Western Conference. There was like a meme, I want to say like last year, 2 years ago, and they showed the difference between both conferences, and you see it was like a Karate Kid fight for the Eastern Conference. It was like Danielson versus, you know, the Cobra Kai, right? And then the Western Conference was the Infinity War with Thanos and everybody going at Thanos. Because every game is like a knock-em-out, drag-em-out situation. There's no easy game. Even the teams that are in the cellar can threaten you. Like Phoenix. Phoenix was a team in the cellar, and Devin Booker's up here putting up 70 points in a game. Like, you got to deal with a shooter. Like, he can knock you off. Now you add Chris Paul to the mix of Phoenix. This could be crazy in Phoenix, too. So it's crazy in the Western Conference. It's kind of like when they get done with the Western Conference in the playoffs, they get to the Eastern Conference and, like, try to take a breath of fresh air, but they got to accomplish the goal at the end of the day. But it's more or less peaches and cream to me in the Eastern Conference comparison to what it's like in the Western Conference. You can't go to sleep in no game. You can't sleep against the Spurs. You can't sleep against the Mavericks, but the Mavericks have built up well. And even though Porzingis is fighting an injury and they're having to try to come back, you still got to worry about Luka and the piece they were able to put together. Also, another move that happened, Seth Curry, and I don't know how the Dallas Mavericks let that happen. They let Seth Curry go to the Philadelphia 76ers, where he was a big-time backup and helping Luka. This is an unfortunate situation for Luka Doncic to lose an interesting backup in Seth Curry, being a shooter and a ball handler as well. But like I said, all of these pieces are within the Western Conference and also with the Houston Rockets. I want to see what ends up happening, if they end up keeping Russell Westbrook or James Harden. But if they do end up losing both pieces, I feel like the Rockets will fall into the cellar, just to say the least. But, like, again, it's a brawl out west. Okay, so we're going to get moving from there. We're going to go into the college football situation. And and like I was mentioning before you got here, it's sad that we as a nation, or not even just a nation, world are going through this situation of a pandemic. And a lot of these games and sports are being taken from us, whatever sport it may be, football, basketball, soccer. They have to, you know, watch these events as best as possible. So a lot of games, especially within the top 25, were postponed or canceled due to the virus situation. But I'm going to try and get into these as best as possible and come back to you as best as we see fit. First and foremost, for the week that was Thursday evening, we had the Tulane Green Wave going up against the 25th-ranked Tulsa Golden Hurricane. And Tulsa won this game 30-24 in overtime, in which this game was well within hell, you know, being held down by Tulane. And Tulsa ended up scoring 3 touchdowns in the fourth to tie this thing up, including a last-second Hail Mary to tie this thing up. It's like these Hail Marys are working now. They barely worked back in the day. They are working now and forced overtime and won this game 30-24 and knocking off Tulane. Tulsa continues their run. They're 5-1, 5-0 in the American Athletic Conference. Going right over into Saturday, I don't even know what the heck this is, right? And people are going to get mad at me, and I don't care how people feel. The SEC is overrated. Do you hear me? The SEC is overrated. The only one I give 1,000% respect to is Alabama. Alabama is the only one I give credit to. Alabama going up against Kentucky, they win this game by 60. They win this game by 60. 63-3. I think it's a 5-game streak of scoring over 35 points. Alabama dominates until they get into the playoffs, and there's teams that can threaten them. And not taking anything away from Alabama. I'm not saying Alabama is the entire conference, but the rest of the teams within the conference, they don't even threaten them. They don't even threaten them at all. Kentucky's 3-5 and 3-5 within the conference as well. I'll get into that later. I just want to get through as many of these games as possible and get your input on this too as well, Eric. Ohio State survived a scare from Indiana, with both of these teams being ranked as top 10 teams for the first time meeting at the situation. Ohio State winning this game 52-35. Indiana tried to make this a game. They stormed back to cut this within 7. They scored 2 touchdowns late in the fourth, but didn't have enough to, you know, knock this team off. And Ohio State I think this is probably one of the only teams within the Big Ten that could have contended with them. I feel like Ohio State may end up running the table, and I damn sure won't even get into the Big House or the, you know, Big Blue, however they look at that out there in Michigan, but I'll get there. Florida wins their matchup up against Vanderbilt 38-17, in which Kyle Trask continues to keep this Heisman hopeful situation rolling. Three touchdowns thrown, 383 yards passing. I feel like he's the favorite with Trevor Lawrence missing two games due to the virus situation. But I will get to another player that I feel like deserves credit to be in that discussion. Cincinnati wins their game up against UCF 36-33 in a nail-biter. Cincinnati keeps their undefeated record going. This was a back-and-forth, knock-em-out, drag-em-out type of game. Shout-out to UCF. UCF made this a game, tried their best to knock off Cincinnati. This is what I'm talking about, having those type of games where you're defending your house and not trying to watch the powerhouse of the, within the conference knock you off. I tip my hat to the Golden Knights, but the Bearcats are a team to be reckoned with. I wonder if they move them up. I wonder what the committee does. This is what I'm saying. They have to do better than the 4-16 playoff situation. There's too many teams that are doing well at this point in time that would be, you know, not considered, including the next team that I'm about to mention. The BYU Cougars knock off North Alabama 66-14, and this is the player that I was saying that was contending with Kyle Trask. If you did not see this guy play, he is an absolute monster. Like, I feel like the only thing that he's probably missing is, like, more size, like height, or, like, you know, like maybe a good 10 to 15 pounds of muscle or something. Like, it's just something about him. But if you have not watched Zach Wilson play football at the quarterback position for BYU, the next game, please just watch them play. This guy is phenomenal. His percentage rate is like above 75% completion. And a lot of his passes, he's throwing bombs. He's going downfield with a lot of his passes, and he's connecting. I really feel like a lot of these teams in the league and the NFL would be looking for him to be a leader for a team. But this guy, they took him out early. He was already cruising. He went 10-16 in the first half, four touchdowns on 212 yards passing, and they took him out because he was already taking care of business. So between Kyle Trask, Zach Wilson, these two right now are names that I'm watching. An upset took place in the Big Ten, and I'm shocked by this. Northwestern knocks off Wisconsin 17-7, holding the Badgers to 7 points, and that 7 points was scored within the fourth quarter, basically shutting them out for the remainder of the game. This team took on the inspiration of being called out as well by an analyst on the network, and they are undefeated. Northwestern should be moving up. I feel like they will be moving up. You also have within the top 25, Oregon survived the scare from UCLA. UCLA has not beaten Oregon in quite some time, but this game was close, 38-35. Oregon continues to cruise within the Pac-12, even though I have a small respect for the Pac-12 because they don't play defense at all. That conference does not play defense. Even though USC is doing their thing and playing better, but the rest of the conference, no. Especially with the decline in a lot of the teams, Arizona, UCLA, Arizona State is trying with Herm Edwards, but the Pac-12 in general, I just don't feel it or see it. Georgia survives another scare. This is what I'm talking about. I don't respect the SEC. Mississippi State gave them a game, and Georgia had to win this game late in the fourth quarter, scoring a touchdown to make the difference, 31-24. Georgia was getting considered top 10 recognition. They're 5-2 on the season, and that's the same record that they hold within the conference. I'm not impressed by what they were able to do. I think the quarterback play has always been the question with Georgia. They always have powerhouse running backs. They always have good playmakers within the receiving game and at the tight end position, but it's always the quarterback. And JT Daniels had a good day this game up against Mississippi State, 401 yards passing, four touchdowns thrown. But, again, this is Mississippi State. They're 2-5. Well, at this point, they were 2-4 in this game. It should not be within the stratosphere of Georgia, let alone this game took place in Athens, too. So, I question the SEC. Let me keep moving. Oklahoma cruises up against Oklahoma State. If you did not watch this game was very rowdy. Like, all of the rivalry was here, but they cruised, winning this one 41-13. Several different breakups of fights they had to take care of with the Sooners knocking off the Cowboys in this matchup. If you don't know about Coastal Carolina, please watch these guys play football. They're probably one of the funnest breeds of football within college football. A breath of fresh air on what's happening into the era of sports right now. They are still undefeated within the Sun Belt Conference. 8-0 within the conference, winning this game up against Appalachian State 34-23. Moving right into the 17th ranked Iowa State. Iowa State Cyclones shut out Kansas State. I can't believe they shut them out, though. 45-0 as they take care of place, take care of business at home, protecting their house in Ames, Iowa. USC, and I know Eric loves this one, they win this one 33-17 up against Utah. I was concerned about this because Utah did not play a game, so nobody seen much on them. But USC was able to come over a couple of games that they won as nail biters with a lot of close games. I think they were ready for a Utah team that has not seen a game yet, winning this one 33-17, in which Slovis took care of business, 264 yards passing, two touchdowns thrown. They played great defense. This is finally a team that played defense within the Pac-12. You don't get this. This is very rare. We have an upset within the top 25. NC State wins their matchup 15-14 up against Liberty. Liberty was undefeated 8-0 within play until last night. NC State protecting the ACC as best as possible with an upset, knocking off the top 25 at home. Here goes another situation of the SEC where I question everything. Auburn wins their matchup up against Tennessee 30-17, in which this was a game. Tennessee had the lead 10-0. And after 10-0, it's like Tennessee went to sleep. And Auburn had 27 points unanswered until Tennessee finally woke up to try and put another score on the board. But that touchdown was far too late, and they had to make a quarterback switch late in the game. And I don't know what's going on with Tennessee, because Tennessee looked good at the beginning of the season. Everything is falling apart at this point in time. And they'll have to answer these questions as the season concludes. I just don't know what to say. Auburn, for them to be 23rd ranked, they're giving a game to Tennessee early in this game, and they're taking care of business defensively. I'm sketched out about Auburn. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. They were a top 10 ranked team. They've fallen as far as in 23rd ranked into the nation, and they're getting scared by Tennessee late until they figured out what to do with Tennessee. And Tennessee was supposed to be a powerhouse at one point in time. I'm not a big Peyton Manning fan, but Peyton, if you can come out of retirement, find a fountain of youth, and go back and help the Tennessee Vols, please do it, because it's looking bad down in Knoxville. Games that were postponed: Clemson versus Florida State, postponed due to the virus. Ole Miss versus Texas A&M, fifth ranked, postponed due to the virus. Georgia Tech going up against the Hurricanes of Miami, 12th ranked, to the virus. Charlotte going up against Marshall, 15th ranked, postponed due to the virus. Texas going up against Kansas, postponed due to the virus. And Central Arkansas going up against Louisiana, postponed due to the virus. Now, there is one more game, right, that I feel I wanted to discuss, and it was Rutgers and Michigan. Michigan was going into Rutgers up against the Scarlet Knights, and Rutgers had a lead throughout the game, and Michigan fought their way back to get the lead and hang on to the win. I was saying, if Michigan lost that game to Rutgers, Harbaugh would be left in New Jersey. There was no way that he was getting back to the Mitten at all. It's bad. It is really bad. I don't know how he's able to maintain it. I don't even know why they're not pulling the trigger on him as soon as possible. I think they're trying to be respectful because he's a Michigan guy, and they went to overtime up against Rutgers, and Rutgers, the record that they have, they shouldn't have been in this type of ball game. But knowing that they're fighting for Shano as best as possible, but Harbaugh is in a bad situation. I really think the only thing that could save him is if he beats Ohio State, and I don't feel comfortable with him pulling that off up against Ohio State. I don't. I feel like he might end up getting blown out, especially the way that this game went down up against Rutgers, and Rutgers having the lead for a good portion of the game. Eric, as I get through a lot of the top 25 and the scores that went down, any of your thoughts, views, or opinions on any of the scores or games that went down before we get moving?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch back on the Hoosiers and Ohio State game. And, there's absolutely zero chance that Michigan beats Ohio State. Absolutely not. They're going to get steamrolled. I mean, they let Rutgers put 42 points up on them and barely pulled out that victory. So, yeah, the Harbaugh era is definitely coming to an end. But what stuck out to me was Michael Penix Jr.
really great quarterback, dominated a good Ohio State defense. He threw for 5 touchdowns, 491 yards, good left-hander like Michael Vick. So I look for him to, get with the team in the next level for sure. And then on top of that, like you said, Zach Wilson, this guy is NFL ready. Everybody needs to watch BYU if they haven't got the chance this year. I mean, this guy's putting up over 200 quarterback ratings, every game. So, I really like watching them, and this kid's going to be a great asset to any team on the next level. He'll be able to step right in and, very good football IQ, smart with the ball, doesn't turn the ball over, 26 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So, really liked watching them. So, that's the 3 teams that I wanted to touch on. And, of course, my USC Trojans going to 3-0. So, Clovis is a good game manager, man. So,
hey, this is the funny part about Zach Wilson, right? I think it was like 4 or 5 games ago, right? And I'm watching BYU. It's a late game on like a Thursday night. So I'm like, okay, there's nothing else on. Let me watch the game. And the team that they were playing, they made a drive. They drove downfield. They scored a field goal. And they're like, Zach Wilson, if you haven't watched him, please continue to watch him. And I still remember the number. That's why I'm bugged out about it. It was like his completion percentage was 81%. I'm like, yeah, right. They were like, he does it all, short, intermediate, and deep passes. He can make them all. His first play from the 20, he throws a bomb to Zach Milne. That's the receiver and their roommate. So you could tell they have the coordination. You know what I'm saying? He throws a bomb, jump ball. The guy catches it. The corner falls, touchdown. First play of the game that he threw, it was a touchdown pass of 80 yards. I'm like, what? I'm like, this dude is out of this world. So, like, I don't know. Like between Kyle Trask and the numbers that he's able to put up, and this is interesting looking at Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask was able to put up numbers that a lot of the Heisman winners that won before him have less numbers than what he has now, and he still has more games to go. He still has more games. He can shatter records right now with this Heisman campaign season in front of him. So, but to me, I feel it's between they got to recognize Zach Wilson, and they got to they're already high or heavy on Kyle Trask. Even though I'm a Miami guy, I really feel like De'Eric King has made a name for himself. I don't think that they're giving him enough credit just due to the nature of the way that Miami's been winning games. They're winning games late or winning them by short margins. A lot of these quarterbacks are winning these games handily early or winning by big double-digit wins. So I don't know if that's something that the committee considers, but this is me personally looking at it. I don't really want to say I'm biased because people do have to watch what De'Eric King has been able to do. This guy is not only throwing the heck out of the ball, he's also scrambling and picking up yards too, and one of the quarterbacks that had a 400 and 100-yard rushing day too, 400 yards passing and 100 yards rushing too. But these are the stories and things that are going on in college football. But the one thing, like I said before, a lot of these games were missed, and that was within the top 25. All throughout the board, a lot of games were canceled due to the virus situation. So everybody, please stay safe as best as possible. We're all trying to get through this as we can. Unfortunate times. These are a lot of unfortunate times. Okay, so I do want to get into the week 11, unless there was something else that you would like to discuss. Before I do, we have a caller out of the 703, the 412. Aaron Simmons, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, I don't know why my timing is so bad. You know what I'm saying? I come out of church, have a great day, and I come on and hear you talking about De'Aaron King, man. Like, why? Why? Why is my timing so bad? But anyway, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
If you ever seen Sister Act 2, right, there was a song called Joyful, Joyful. You know what I'm saying? I wish he could come into the kitchen and be joyful, joyful. But I understand, like, people are frustrated, because he come in here and he reps the 412, but he don't rep the 717, the 215. Like, there's so many different area codes within that state that he don't even represent, you know what I'm saying? So this is one thing that bothers me about him, and he comes in here screaming this type of stuff with this attitude after church. Now, frankly, since you want to come in here and throw your shot, what's going on in Pennsylvania?
Right now, Penn State is a very bad football team. I have made no bones about it. we deserve to lose every game we play this year because we can't do the simple things correct. So with that being said, the fact that we got blown out by Iowa yesterday comes as no shock. We may only get one win this year. We may only beat Michigan, and that's a stretch. But that's another conversation for another day. We are a bad football team.
No, that conversation is right now. No, that conversation is right now. This isn't for another day. This is right now. You know, and this is the crazy part about this one. Look, this is the crazy part about the Sports City. He's on two sides of history, right? This is the first time that the Steelers have gone this far into the season and being undefeated, right? This is the first time for the Steelers running the table this good, right? And then this is the first time that Penn State is starting the season out being 0-5 this bad in Penn State history. So I don't know how he feels right now. So I'm worried about him. Like, yeah. We go at it, but he's still my little brother. Like, I life is harsh. Hug me. Don't reject me. You know what I'm saying? So I got to be there for him. You know, I have to. So I got to ask these questions. You know, I got to make sure he's all right.
I'm thankful, but I'm not there for you. So whenever Miami loses, I'm there. You know what I'm saying? OKC don't look like themselves. I'm there. You know what I'm saying? I don't like him that much. I mean, I'm glad he loved me, though. I don't like him.
Yeah. See, Sports City, look, he got out of church. He got out of church, and this is the mojo I'm getting, right? He's supposed to show love, and he's telling you that he's being mean and evil. This is disgusting. This is him brushing with Barry Sullivan. But like I said, he's on two sides of history. We will be talking about the Steelers today, too. I want to see how these guys get into it. And now everybody wants to call in. Now, after I finished college football, now all of y'all want to call in. We got Mr. Greenwood in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. How about yourself?
I think you're slick, both of you. You both think you're slick, both of you. You think they are so slick. Had me up here like, yo, where they at? Where they at? As soon as I get to the NFL, they're like, yeah, we ready. You ready? Right now, we ready. We got them. Y'all think y'all so slick. Y'all ain't going to get no more.
We're here for you, Ty.
No. Y'all should be there. Y'all got to be through thick and thin. Y'all just can't come through here when it's thick. Y'all got to come here when it's thin for me, too.
Jeez.
I got something for y'all. Don't worry. Don't worry. No. Okay. So, here we go, Sports City. We are going to get into the Week 11 picks and predictions. This is going to be very interesting with a lot of these games, and I'm starting right into the thick of things with a lot. And it's funny that I just started kicking on serious about the state of Pennsylvania. Here we go. The Philadelphia Eagles take flight and go into the state of Ohio up against the Cleveland Browns, in which, I don't even know how to say this, but I'm going to say this the best way that I can. Whichever quarterback loses this game will have all of the scrutiny on them. It's almost like one of these quarterbacks can't mess up. They can't fumble. They can't throw a pick. They both are going to try and have to outdo each other as best as possible, even though that's the name of the game. But Wentz can't mess up, and damn sure Baker can't mess up. And Baker's doing good. Baker's 6-3 on the season, 4-1 at home. The Eagles are bad on the road. They're 1-3 on the road. 3-5-1, and still sitting atop. This is bad, Sports City. I feel bad. They are still sitting atop the NFC East with 3-5-1 as their record as it stands. How do you guys feel about this matchup, Eagles-Browns? And like I said, whichever quarterback loses will be facing the music, I think, until Thursday. I'll start with you first, James. Your thoughts on this matchup. Your Philadelphia Eagles up against the Cleveland Browns.
I think I'm going to take the Browns. Now, I mean, I want to correct one thing. Baker Mayfield has not been looking good in these wins that he's been having. It's been mostly the supporting cast around him that's been kind of propping him up a little bit. But that's why I'm taking the Browns, because their supporting cast is that much better than what Wentz is working with right now. And while the Eagles are getting healthy, so you're going to start to see improvements from that, I don't think that's going to come this week, so I'm going to pick the Browns.
Okay, Sears, how about you? Are you supporting Jessica or no?
You know, the book of Proverbs reads, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and attains its favor." Like, so I'm going to have to roll with the white team this one for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, the Cleveland Browns are fraudulent. Okay, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. The Cleveland Browns are fraudulent. All their wins have come against subpar teams. And here's the thing. A lot of criticism is going to go you know, into the loser and of this ball game. And rightfully so, I honestly expect the Eagles to right the ship and get it done today. I mean, you come up a bye and you get shellacked. Like, even though the score was close, like, the Giants totally manhandled them, you know, on both sides of the football last week. So, honestly, I expect the Philadelphia Eagles to win this ball game and you know, really take a stranglehold, if you will, on this WAC division.
I want you to be honest, man. You could pick honestly. Don't do this because Jeff is looking at you. Pick honestly now. You just said the Eagles got manhandled by the Giants, and you're picking them up against the Browns. And this is in rain.
Yeah.
It's wet outside.
My point is exactly. My point is, here's the thing. Here's the issue. The Philadelphia Eagles, albeit they're a bad football team, they have a solid front four. Their defensive line is pretty decent. And the way you beat Baker Mayfield is to pressure him right up the face. You know what I'm saying? So the Eagles can generate pressure before. They don't have to make very many plays on the back end. Baker Mayfield's going to throw them the football. Baker Mayfield's going to turn the ball over. I mean, yeah, there's rain out there, and the weather isn't ideal, which means, Baker Mayfield's ball security is one of the worst in the league. Now, with that being said, Cyrus Carson went. So, I mean, if the score was 17-13, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if that's a lot of points in the game.
But you said that all the Browns' wins are against subpar teams. Are you calling the Philadelphia Eagles not a subpar team?
Exactly. Thank you.
The Philadelphia Eagles are
the fact that there's rain today only bolsters because they're gonna put the ball in the hands of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and just let those guys run. They're not gonna let Baker touch that football.
Give him a dish.
Have a solid run defense. You beat the Philadelphia Eagles with the pass. And if the Philadelphia Eagles are able to generate pressure up the middle and force Baker Mayfield to actually play quarterback, read defense, throw an accurate ball, it comes for him. We've all seen this since his days in Oklahoma. So the fact that I'm picking the Eagles to generate pressure, you know, with that defensive line comes as no surprise.
Okay, well, let's move right along. Eric, how do you feel about this game? Eagles or Browns? It's in Cleveland, and you've heard what's going on. The Browns are taking care of business up against subpar teams. The Eagles are sitting atop the NFC East with 3-5-1 as their record.
Yeah, this is a hard one to pick, but I'm rolling with Cleveland. Just like you said, it's wet outside. Carson Wentz has played poor all year, so has Baker Mayfield, but the difference maker is you got Chubb and Hunt, and they're going to get a steady dose of that. And look what the defense did last week, held the Texans to 7 points. So it's not looking too promising for the Eagles. So they're decimated by injury on the wide receiver side. The Browns still have Jarvis Landry. So I'm rolling with the Browns on this one. It's going to be sloppy, but the Browns are definitely going to come out victorious. You know, Myles Garrett and Sheldon Richardson are going to wreak havoc on Carson Wentz today.
Myles Garrett isn't playing.
Yeah, he's out. He's out. He is out.
The COVID, huh?
Yeah, he's on that reserve list.
Oh yeah.
So
still going to be the Browns.
Right. I still feel the same way too. But just like Siri said, I feel like this is going to be a tight game. This is one of those get your popcorn ready type of situations. I'm being biased here, and this is personal. I kind of want to see the Browns win because I want to see how crazy it looks in the NFC East with the Eagles probably still sitting atop with a 3-6-1 record, depending on what the Giants and everybody else within the division does. I just want to see it just be crazy. It just looks outlandish on the way the NFC East looks. So I'm going to go with the Browns. I don't trust either quarterback, especially Wentz, because now it's like Wentz he's playing like he don't even care no more. Baker Mayfield, I feel like he's trying, but he presses so much that he's putting himself in problematic situations. But again, like it's wet out. I feel like the ball control advantage goes to the two running backs of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. These two are a tandem and made them stronger before Chubb went down. The next matchup we have, I really wanted to say, is there anybody that believes that the Falcons could pull this off in New Orleans? I will say that. Do anybody feel that Matty Ice can knock off the Saints without Drew Brees? And Drew Brees' situation has me pummeled because it's not just fractured ribs. They said it's 11 of them. So 11 of his ribs are fractured. I don't know how long he'll be out and how they disrespected Jameis Winston and started Taysom Hill. So I know Taysom Hill is the playmaker, but I don't know if I trust him all game long to be the passer because he's more of a scrambler. But I will throw that one around the kitchen. Is there anybody that believes Atlanta can go into Louisiana and pull this off?
I do.
James and Aaron both are pulling for the Falcons to pull this one off up against the Saints.
Yep.
So, Eric, you believe the Saints will hang on and win this one, correct?
I believe they will, but the Falcons definitely can pull this one off. So I'm not counting them out completely. So absolutely.
This is tough for me because Atlanta has so many weapons, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I feel like they can. And you know what? I am going to go with the majority of the panel. I think the Falcons pulled this one off, especially with Lattimore being out, Drew Brees being out. But the Saints, they are a different beast in that dome, and they still have Kamara. They still have Thomas and these guys in that offensive cavalry. It's going to be a very interesting game. I feel like this is the fireworks. Watch how the score total goes. So I'm going to say the Falcons do win this one. I think the Saints will try to make this interesting, but if the Falcons lose this one, they're tanking. If they lose this game, whoever's in the Atlanta Falcons, i.e. Nas, these guys are going to tank and try to get the best pick possible. The next matchup I have is probably one of the best underachieving games of the day in the Cincinnati Bengals going into D.C. up against the Washington football team. I was going to say the Redskins. I apologize. How do you guys see this game going down? Eric, I'll come to you first. Bengals or the Washington football team?
I don't know. It's going to come down between Joe Burrow and Alex Smith. So Alex Smith came back last week, had a big game, threw for almost 400 yards. So I'm going to go with Washington by 3 in this one.
Okay. Aaron, how about you? Since you are in the Metro, who do you like, Cincinnati or Washington?
You know, honestly, I think Washington gets it done here. One of the biggest issues that we have with the Cincinnati Bengals is their offensive line play. Teams have been able to get to Joe Burrow. Teams have been able to pressure them. I'm not putting a lot of faith and confidence in Alex Smith. However, this is a veteran-led ball club in the Washington football team. I do expect them to be able to put pressure on the young rookie. Joe Mixon is on IR for the next 3 to 4 weeks, so that, you know, bulk of the load is being run by Gio Bernard. I do like the assortment of receivers that Cincinnati has. A.J. Green, he's an endorser for me. T. Higgins, a rookie from Clemson, I like him a lot. With that being said, these are the games that if Washington really wants to solidify themselves and make a run at winning this dreadful NFC East, you have to win these next 2 weeks. You have to beat Cincinnati, and you have to beat Dallas on Thursday. They do that. We may be sitting here next Sunday talking about how the Washington football team really has put a stranglehold on this division.
This is crazy how this looks like, and you wouldn't expect them to be in this conversation. I don't know which way to go. I'm going to go Washington, too. As much as I want to say Joe Burrow pulls this off and makes this a game, I'm going to go with Washington to pull this one off. Alex Smith gets a win. It makes it even more of a crazy scenario in the NFC East for them to have 3 wins on the season and potentially put that tie situation up against the Eagles. This is crazy. But I am going to give Washington the edge. Eric. No, James, right? James, you didn't go on this.
Yeah.
Cincinnati or what?
Yeah, correct.
Who do you like?
I'm also going to take the Washington football team. I like them defensively a lot better. This is kind of strength versus strength, weakness versus weakness. So that makes this a really interesting football game. But Alex Smith has shown to come back and really put put things forward at the quarterback position, which makes me think that Washington actually not only has a shot to win this game, but has a realistic shot to win the division. So I'm taking Washington.
Wow, you sound like you're a fan of the Washington football team. Is this so? Is this the new team?
Well, see, what happened was he saw what he did to the Lions last week. I mean, Alex Smith has thrown for dang near 400 yards against his Lions last week. So that was the
whoa.
No, they're
wait,
not
again.
My Lions no more.
I don't play them no more. Right. Yeah, good. Against whose Lions? These are mine.
Mine. He put them against his Lions. He can have him. He can keep
him. Right. Who won? Who won the game? Who won the game?
Detroit won the game.
Who won the game? Okay. That's all I want. That's all I care about W's. That's all I like. Like in the words of Mike Singletary. Hold on. In the word of Mike Singletary, I need winners. Can't win with them.
Then why are you a Lions fan? You want winners? Why are you a Lions fan?
Listen. You don't even know who you like, and I know he's not talking to your Penn State fan, and they're winless. Listen, don't side with me. I have to move on. You just got out of church, and you're trying to bring evil spirits around me. I don't like this. I don't like it. Pineapples. Okay. The next matchup we have. Are the Detroit Lions up against the Carolina Panthers to take place in Charlotte? The Lions are favored by 2.5. Whoa, that changed. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just seen this. The Panthers were favored by 3. Detroit is now favored by 2.5. What happened? 5 points?
Check the injury report. My guess is Teddy Bridgewater is probably not playing.
So Bridgewater's sitting. Yeah, they sat him. Oh, wow. So Bridgewater's sitting. It's a 5-point change. Oh, shoot. Okay, so the Lions are now favored in Charlotte. How do you guys feel about this one? I will come to you first, Eric. Lions, Panthers, in Carolina.
Wow. I'm going with the Lions in this one just because now I found out Teddy Bridgewater is sitting, so I don't think who do they have? Greer coming in to back him up? Look for Matthew Stafford to have a big day.
That dude Paul Walker from the AFL.
Oh, yeah.
XFL.
It'll be interesting to see what he does. But, with Bridgewater out, I'm definitely going Lions with this one, fellas.
Wow, I can't believe I've seen a 5-point swing. That's so crazy. James, how do you feel about it, the Panthers or my Lions?
I'm going to take the Lions on this one. No Teddy Bridgewater, no Christian McCaffrey, no win. I'm taking the Lions. Even with the Lions missing Kenny Golladay and having a hindered Matt Stafford, that doesn't really matter. I'm taking the Lions to win this week.
Aaron, how about you? Lions or Panthers in Carolina?
You know what? I'm going with the Carolina Panthers, the North Carolina Panthers, as Diddy would call them. I think that, honestly, at the end of the day, this is a team that is going to rally around their rookie quarterback, so to speak. And just to kind of needle, you know, power over there, man. I need the North Carolina Panthers to go ahead and win this ball game. I think Mike Davis is going to be able to run the football. I do also think that the Lions are going to be able to run football. Keep in mind that, you know, Swift is out, so for those playing fantasy, you know, keep an eye for that. Kerryon Johnson and the wretched Adrian Peterson is going to be toting the rock a lot. With that being said, give me the North Carolina Panthers in an upset. Yeah, give me that.
This is crazy because as I just said that to you when I got to this portion of the schedule, this line just moved another half a point. So I guess the news is increasing. So I think they're trying to push people to go Detroit. This is so crazy. This is crazy. Bridgewater had that much of an impact. So this went 6 points.
This went 6 points the other way. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going with Detroit. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers pull this out where they're trying to trip people up. Vegas, you are dirty. You are dirty, especially with this going 6 points the other way. But I feel like this is I'm going to be watching this game, biting the hell out of my nails. But something's interesting here. I would think it would probably be more if they really feel like Bridgewater is that much of a difference in this game. Well, let me keep on moving.
Well, honestly, look at like this. Matthew Stafford is hurt. We don't know the status of Matt Stafford. You know, T.J. Hawkinson, he's up in the air right now. I'm sure he's going to play. You don't have your starting running back. You know what I'm saying? And it's Matt Patricia.
And there's no Kenny Galladay either. So that's a lot of the star power of this offense.
Right.
I mean, Hawk's still playing, and Hawk's pretty good. It's turned into a pretty good tight end, but this defense, the Carolina Panthers defense, is just awful. So I mean, I would probably bet the Lions to cover now.
I mean, Detroit just let the man with one leg free for almost 500 yards last week. So I mean, Detroit's not stopping anybody either. So it's really a toss up game for me. It's really a toss up game for me. So.
Look at the evil that comes out of this dude out of church. Out of church. Okay. Let me keep on moving. And right after that, too, this is crazy that everything just went in sequence. The Pittsburgh Steelers visit the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is there anybody in this kitchen that feels Jacksonville could knock off the Steelers?
Man, I just think it's back to the last time I thought, oh, man, there's no way the Jacksonville Jaguars could beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every time
and then the Jacksonville Jaguars went into Pittsburgh and kicked their tail with Blake Bortles. So look, y'all can sleep on y'all. This happened before, and Sirius was so mad. That was one of the only times. See, let me tell y'all something, Sports City, right? Anytime, like Oklahoma City, the Twins, the Thunder, if Georgetown, if they lose, Sirius come for me. Like, he called for me, he pulls memes, he pulls up my wall. If something happened to Sirius, I don't bother him. I let him go because he know I'm thinking about him, right? I let him go, right? This one, when Blake Bortles went up there and beat him, and it was, like, happening multiple times, I called Sirius. Sirius was so mad. He did not want to talk to me at all. So, if the Jaguars pull this off with their 1-8 season, believe me, he will be getting a call from your boy, T.B. Thomas.
Here's the funny thing. Like, I believe that Pittsburgh will win the ballgame. Don't get it twisted. But if there was a team that had given a sit over the duration of existence, it's Jacksonville. Ben Roethlisberger, in the past 3 years alone, has thrown a total of 9 to 10 interceptions in that building. He does not play Jacksonville well at all. It doesn't matter what the record is. It doesn't matter if they got, you know, Jalen Ramsey or Leonard Fournette. We routinely play badly versus Jacksonville. So, do I think we'll win the ball game? Yes, I think we'll win the ball game. But do not be surprised if we have to pull it out at the end like we did against the Dallas Cowboys and some other scrub squads we played, because we routinely play badly in that building.
Yeah, hey, look what the Jaguars did last week. They made it interesting against Green Bay. So, you know, some teams play down to their opponents. So it'll be interesting to see. But the Steelers should, you know, make quick work of the Jaguars today.
Here's the funny thing. You were 14-point favorites against Dallas. Won that by 5. Going into today's game, unless the line changed while I was in church, we are 10.5-point favorites. We'll win this one by 3. Watch.
You're going to make me go with the Jaguars and the points. I'm about to go talk to somebody and go with the Jags with the points then if you're so confident. But I'm not confident. I feel the Steelers bruise. I feel like the Steelers will bruise them up, and I feel like that defense is shut. They're already good on the run. They don't have a running back that can threaten them. And Garcia, once he's in trouble, he's trying to make a lot of those deep passes. They might end up picking him off once or twice today. I feel like the Steelers will cover that.
Here's the funny thing. I will be shocked as I'll get out if that's what happens. I'll be shocked. keep in mind, we got Baltimore on Thursday. You have to look ahead, too. You have to look ahead. We got Baltimore Thursday. Again, the schedule makers ain't stupid. Schedule makers ain't stupid. Watch the struggle versus Saints today. Watch.
I'll hit you up. Don't worry. One way or another, I'm going to hit you up. Believe me, but you better answer the phone because I know how you get. I know how you get. Okay. The next matchup we have are the Tennessee. Don't tell me what to do. I'm grown. Listen, the next matchup we have are the Tennessee Titans going up against the Baltimore Ravens, in which the Ravens are favored by 6. This game took place last year in the playoffs, and Derrick Henry went wild. Does it change or does it stay the same? Sports City, I'm going to go first on this one. I am scared to pick this game because, boy, do I respect Derrick Henry, but I am a Lamar Jackson fan, and I don't know what Lamar you're going to see. I'm going to go Ravens because they are at home, and they're favored decently. I don't want to say heavy, but decent enough is a touchdown, basically, spread. I'm going to go Ravens, but I wouldn't be shocked if Derrick Henry, if they had the ball control situation going on, and Derrick Henry did what he did just a few months ago, because that was January. So it just was 10 months ago. But I'm going to go Ravens, but I'm eyes peeled on this game. James, your thoughts on this game, Tennessee or Baltimore?
I'm also taking Baltimore. This is a lot hard. I think that the Titans cover the 6. I think I like Titans to cover the 6, but I think Baltimore wins by like a point or two. It's a really hard game. They're both run heavy teams. Lamar Jackson has not been looking good though. He has been looking good all season. So that makes it like a lot closer than people think, but I'll take the Ravens in a close one.
Eric, how about you? Tennessee or Baltimore?
Yeah, this is a tough one too. I think I'm leaning towards Baltimore a little bit just because they're at home. Tannehill, you know, he's gonna have to have a big game for them to beat the Ravens today. He's gonna have to hit Corey Davis and AJ Brown and get Henry the ball a loads of times. But if they just rely on Henry to win this game, I don't see it happening because Baltimore always has a good defense. But I'm looking for Lamar Jackson to right the ship, just like James just said. He hasn't been the same Lamar Jackson this year. So I like the Ravens in this one, and we'll see what they can do.
Okay, Aaron, you're down. This is your favorite team in the AFC North, Tennessee versus your Ravens.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know about that, but I will say this. Last time these two teams went, we all saw what took place with Derrick Henry running like crazy. Keep in mind, Ryan Tannehill threw the ball 9 times that whole game. And they beat them, and they beat them handily. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't necessarily, you know, feel as though Ryan Tannehill has to throw the ball over the yard, but he does have to be efficient when he does. This is a game where everybody in the stadium knows what's going to happen, and it's a matter of if you can stop it or not. You know what I'm saying? Both of these teams mirror each other. They both run the football. Like to run the football. They both, you know, do it in a variety of different ways. You know, Lamar Jackson and Ingram and Dobbins and company want to run the football. We all know Derrick Henry's going to want to run the football. This comes down to, in my opinion, is defense and coaching. And unfortunately, I'm going to lean Baltimore's direction because they are at home. I do think it's going to come down to a one-score game. And no type of environment. Justin Tucker is the best, and I emphasize the best in the business at you know, kicking field goals and putting his team in position to get wins. And let's keep it a buck with you. I think what happened last week was on a loop in Baltimore. So we did that all week during practice. You know, that stiff arm that he laid on Earl Thomas has been passed around and joked for about a year now. I think the Ravens come ready to play, and I think they get the win here, setting up a decent matchup for Thursday, but we'll talk about Thursday on Wednesday.
So everybody selected this game, correct? I'm close to switching my pick. I really want to go Tennessee just because I heard Eric say the word Tannehill, and I don't know what to do right now because like he listened to it and then just turned this thing around ever since he got to Tennessee, because I know I've been picking on him every year when he was in Miami, and for the past 2 years he's made a name for himself out here in Tennessee, and I was one of the people that picked Baltimore in that matchup up against Tennessee in the playoffs this past January, and they went crazy. I want to, but I'm going to stick with Baltimore. I'm going to stay with my first mind. Very interesting game we have right here.
Hey, I'd like to comment one more thing off that. Yeah, if Tannehill has a big game passing and Henry's doing his thing, Tennessee will win this game. That's just a fact. So it's all going to rely on Tannehill's performance.
That is my complete concern right now. That's what I'm worried about.
I disagree with that. You know, I'm not sure if you have enough time to go back and forth, but if the thing is with that, defensively, I think this game is won on defense. Regardless of whether Ryan Tannehill has a decent day or not, if Tennessee Titans play smart, disciplined, gap control football and make the tackles that are there, they win this ball game. The Baltimore Ravens excel in yak yards. You know what I'm saying? Whether they make a guy miss in the hole and they explode, or they get around the edge and, you know, defensive end or outside linebacker doesn't keep containment. If you keep stuff in front of you and make the tackles out of there, Lamar Jackson will give you the football. He will give you the football. You've got to make tackles on defense. And same thing with the Ravens. I mean, if you let Derrick Henry get downhill, it's a wrap. I mean, we all know that. So I think this game is won or lost on defense.
Okay, we have a very interesting game coming up. The New England Patriots are now sitting at 4-5, trying to turn this thing around up against the, I don't even know how to call this Houston Texans team, struggling, disappointment. I don't know how to look at this, but they have their pieces, but they got rid of D-Hop. This is what Bill O'Brien gets, and he's not there anymore. So I don't really want to put this on the organization. I think this is more or less a Bill O'Brien situation. But they're struggling. I want to see how you guys feel about this. Is there anybody that feels that the Texans can protect their house up against a Patriot team that's turning this thing around?
I think they can. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at the end of the day, you still got Watson there. You got Will Fuller there. You got some weapons on the outside. And you know what I'm saying? And I mean, I like what, you know, the Patriots have done, you know, right in the ship, but keep in mind this is still a Cam Newton-led operation, and my feelings about Cam Newton this year need no more saying, because I've gone on record to say that. But at the end of the day, you know, hell, give me Houston. I'm taking Houston.
I'm also taking Houston.
There's two. Eric, how about you?
I mean, this is a hard one. What happened to Deshaun Watson? You know what I mean? That's the big question. He got this big contract and he hasn't been performing. And I think what O'Brien was thinking, he's like, oh, he was putting all his eggs in one basket. Oh, Randall Cobb, you know, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, which DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in this game. So I don't know what he was thinking still by getting rid of him, but, yeah, I mean, Houston could pull this off. It's been a head-scratcher this whole year with them, you know. So they can definitely pull it off, but I look for the Patriots to win this game. Cam Newton is going to right the ship, and the Patriots are going to squeak out a win today.
Split, I'm going with you, Eric. I feel the Patriots win this game. The Texans can't be this bad and win this game up against the Patriots, even though I feel like Deshaun Watson is a monster in his own right, but I feel like Belichick doesn't really have much to take away other than Deshaun Watson, so the focus would be on the quarterback trying to slow him down to try to win this game. I think he can try and do this up against a team that's been struggling. I'm going with the Evil Empire, a.k.a. the Foxborough Patriots. The 4 o'clock start off, the Miami Dolphins going up against the Denver Broncos. Is it the Tua Patrol or is it the Drew Lock situation? How do you guys feel about this one? I'll go to you first, Aaron. How do you like it, Dolphins or Broncos?
Did you say Aaron or Eric?
I said Aaron. It's serious. Do you hear me? Okay, he might be having technical difficulty. Okay, so Eric, since you are hearing me, Dolphins or Broncos, who do you like? And you are in Colorado, so you better choose that wisely.
Yeah, you know, I'm rolling with Tua and company on this one. So the Dolphins have been a big surprise this year, and they're playing great football week in, week out. So I wasn't a fan of Tua coming in right away. You know, I like if you're going to roll with a young quarterback like that, put him in at the beginning of the year. You know what I mean? So that's how I feel with that. But, yeah, Salvon Ahmed, he's going to have a big game today running. The Broncos defense hasn't been playing too good. So I'd just like to see Tua get a better rapport with his wide receivers. He's got Devontae Parker. He needs to get on page with him. And I look for Parker and Tua to have a big game today and them to easily beat the Denver Broncos.
Hey, James, how about you? Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I'm taking Miami as well. Drew Lock has been pretty garbage over the past few weeks. Outside of two really good comeback games, Drew Lock has shown he's not really an NFL starting quarterback. Yeah, so give me the Fins.
Aaron, are you still there? Okay, I'll wait till you get back in order. I'm going to go Dolphins, but I think the Broncos will make this a game. I think this is going to be a tight one. I don't think it's going to be the 4-point spread. I think this is going to be a field goal decided game. This is going to be a good one. Matchup 4 o'clock, Jets, Chargers in Los Angeles. Is there anybody that feels the Jets can knock off the Chargers in an upset for their first win of the season? Okay, the kitchen
absolutely
is quite...
not.
Okay, yeah, the kitchen is quite quiet, so we're good on that one. So the Chargers clean sweep. The next matchup we have is probably one of the games of the week. The Packers up against the Colts in Indy. The Colts are favored by 1.5, even though I look at that as a pick 'em. No. How do you guys feel about this? Green Bay or Indy? I'll come to you first, James.
Ooh, this is a get your popcorn ready game for this week. I'm going to take the Colts. I'm going to go with the line. I'm going to go with the home team, and that's basically how I'm going to pick it. The Packers defense has not been what's been carrying them, so it's going to be kind of a balanced team versus an offensive heavy team. So I'm going to take the Colts to beat the Packers this week.
How about you, Eric? Who do you like in this one, Colts or Packers?
I like the Colts in this one just because they're at home. Phillip Rivers is starting to develop a rapport with his three top wide receivers with Pittman Jr., Hines, and Hilton. And just like James just said, the Green Bay defense hasn't been playing good at all this year. Just like we, you know, touched on briefly, look at the Jaguars kept it a game. They needed the fourth quarter to come back and win that game, the Packers. So, but Aaron Rodgers' offense is rolling. Him and Davante Adams are two of the best 1-2 tandems in the game right now. So, but I'm going with the Colts here at home, especially with the way they're playing right now.
Vegas is up to something. I'm going with Green Bay. You guys can stay with Andy. It's something up. I mean, even though Indy's defense has been playing good and the linebacker took it personally saying, you know, Rodgers said it was a better linebacker in the league or he's the best linebacker in the league. He wants to prove a point to him. I'm still going to stick with Rodgers at the end of the day over Phillip Rivers, even though I respect Rivers. But if I had to pick between the both of them, I'm going with AR-12, even though I don't like that. Okay, Aaron, are you back in the building?
Is that check.
Who do you like, Packers or Colts?
Give me A-Rod. There's a quarterback that I don't like more than the dude in Baltimore. It's forward this. Don't ask me why. So, yeah, give me A-Rod.
Did you miss the Dolphins Broncos?
I did. Give me Miami.
Jets, Chargers. Okay, stop. I got you. The next matchup we have.
J-E-T-S. Yes.
Yeah, right. You got to hear the slogan that they say. Listen,
not
listen. If you was in this area of the United States, you would hear what they say when they say JETS. I want to say it on air. Okay. The next matchup we have, the Cowboys going to Minnesota up against the Vikings. Is there anybody feel the Cowboys could pull this off up against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota?
They can.
They won't.
Yeah, they can. They won't, but they can. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings defense is not that decent. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, the Cowboys understand and know how to play Kirk Cousins. They've done it, you know, for a bazillion of years as a member of the Washington squad. The Cowboys do not, and I emphasize, do not have a running game at all. Like, I'm not sure what's going on with Zeke or Pollard or whatever. I don't think the line is banged up. But, you know, you beat the Minnesota Vikings through the air, and they arguably have, you know, some of the best receivers in the game. So they can do it. I don't think they will.
Okay. We'll get away from that one. We'll wait all day for Sunday night for this one. Who feels the Raiders can knock off the Chiefs in Vegas? They are the only team that knocked the Chiefs. Say that again.
I said they're going to do it again, huh?
Yeah. All right, well, if anybody feels that, I'm going to say this. I'm going Chiefs for the redemption game. This is a redemption game in Vegas. I think the Chiefs knock off the Raiders at 8 o'clock.
Dude, after the Raiders did a victory lap around the stadium, they pretty much put themselves in a position to lose by 50 this week.
It's not going to be right. plus Andy Reid coming off a bye. Come on now. Y'all know the stats on Andy Reid coming off bye week. 50, you know what? I'm going to give him a respectable, more like 30, you know, 4, 35, but it's going to be ugly.
Okay, so everybody's going Chiefs. Okay, last but not least, we have the Rams and Buccaneers. We're going to close out on that as well. Monday Night Football. Aaron Donald, even though you're not on my team, one of my favorite defensive players in the league, up against a story of a guy named Brady. And the last time they faced up, it was the Super Bowl, and that score was 13-3. So this could be one of those defensive games, but I doubt it'll be a defensive matchup. Tampa Bay favored by 4.5. How do you guys see this fit? I need plugs, closeout, shout-outs, and your prediction on the game. I'll start with you first, James.
I'm gonna pick the Rams on this game. They've been playing a lot better football over the past few weeks. Tampa Bay has been doing so as well, but they're kind of up and down. I'm gonna take the Rams in what might be an upset. I'm not sure, but give me the Rams.
Okay, and Sirius, how about you? How do you see this played out? I also need a plug, close out, shout out. And you shut the doors here on the bunch. Rams, Buccaneers, and Tampa Bay.
See, here's the crazy thing. I honestly thought I was going to be the only one that was going to pick the Rams. But I honestly think the Rams get it done here. Keep in mind, gentlemen, this Rams team defense is playing some of the best football around. That offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is not the greatest in the world. And you know how you beat Tom Brady. Like I told you how to beat Baker Mayfield. You get pressure in his face. And there is nobody better than Aaron Donald on that defensive line. Jalen Ramsey in the back end, you know, kind of patrolling things. I think this is going to be a letdown game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, which is going to be interesting because I did pick the Carolina Panthers to beat the Saints today, which is going to make things interesting in that NFC South. So I'm interested to see how it pans out. But anyways, man,
wait. You said you picked the Carolina Panthers to beat the Saints?
I picked the Carolina Panthers. Who did Carolina Panthers play? They played the Lions. That's right. They played the Lions. I picked Atlanta to beat the Saints.
People, he's lying after church. This is all right. You give you a plug and close.
I picked Atlanta to beat the Saints. I beat the Panthers and beat the Lions.
And he's stuttering too, Sports City. I don't know what to do any longer.
That's what I said.
Are you sure? Are you sure is
go
the question.
Like,
I will. Don't worry. It's okay.
Are gonna beat Yeah, the Panthers are going to beat the Lions, and the Falcons are going to beat the Saints, and the Rams are going to beat the Buccaneers. Like that was said before I got interrupted by this goofy host over here. That's your boy, Sarah, that's in that 412 and the 703, man. That's a pleasure to be here. On the Sunday, man. First and foremost, y'all, it's a holiday weekend, y'all, man. And be safe, enjoy with your family. Always be safe, be safe. Let me emphasize this, be safe. This thing is no joke, man. It took the life of another friend of mine this weekend. So definitely be safe, man. If you're enjoying the time with your family, happy Thanksgiving to all those who are here, man. Remember, this time is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised, man. So definitely enjoy this time with your loved ones and your family, man. But when we'll be back in the building on Wednesday, talking some football, man, breaking down some things, getting ready for the Thursday slate of games, man. We got three of them to dive into. Should be some fun, man. Y'all be safe, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, and just to let you guys know, Gardner Minshew is inactive for the game, too. So that game might be a blowout series. You might be all right. I mean, we'll see with Gardner being out. So
Before I go, man, we had a rookie quarterback playing in Dallas, you know what I'm saying, and we held on by five there, too. That means zero to me, zero, zero.
Okay, I'm trying. See, I'm trying to bring light to him, Sports City. He got out of church. I tried to help him, and he don't want it. See, this is the problem. Him and the villain been together too long. They've been together too long. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Even people in church. You know what my mother said? My mama said the devil in the church, too. The devil in the church, too. Okay, Eric, your thoughts on this game. Plug, close out, shout out, Rams and Buccaneers. Who do you like in this game and why?
I like the Rams, especially if they can get their Cam Akers involved in this game. The Rams are playing lights out defense, and just like we all talked about, you got to just rush Brady. And I look for the Rams to bring the house all day long. The Buccaneers have been extremely inconsistent all year. So I look for the Rams to continue their streak and take out the Buccaneers today. It'll be a good game, but the Rams are definitely going to come out with a win.
Okay, I am also going to go with – no, I'm not going with the Rams. I feel like Brady's going to pull this one off at home with comfort Monday night. Everybody watching, and I think the last Monday night game they had up the Giants, and everybody was thinking that they were going to blow the Giants out, and the Giants made it a game. I don't think he's going to let the Rams make this one in a tight one, even though I know Jared Goff had a bit of things in his mouth going up against Brady that last time and losing in the Super Bowl. I think this will definitely be one of those get-your-popcorn-ready games. I want to see if Aaron Donald is able to get to Brady to get a sack. That's something that I'm waiting for, but I'm going to go Bucs to win this one at home. They are setting the table so well for Brady to still have a good and successful season. As they said, at 7-3, potentially could be 8-3 or 7-4, but I don't think they're going to make him look like that. Sports City Steph will be back in the building Wednesday evening with the cookout. I already feel some type of way about how things are going down. Everybody, just like Siri said, have a safe holiday into this week. But I know I'll be talking to you guys on Wednesday evening with the cookout. A lot more stuff to jump into. And also our predictions for the Thanksgiving games as well, with the three games that we have on slate. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Yeah. Do for a living, nigga. I eat for a living, nigga. So I live for a living, nigga. Watch it. Okay. Shooters. Watch it. Things just ain't the same for gangsters. But I'm a little too famous to shoot these pranksters. Holding these rap singers, claiming they bangers. Doing no sorts of twisted shit with they fingers. Disrespecting the game, no home training the manners. I was doing this shit when you was shitting Pampers. I was moving them grams, but you knew what a hand that hand was. Ducking the vans, radars, and scanners. But you knew what hard white and tan was. I was taking the turnpike, I hit with the bammers. I was nice with my hands, cause I hit with them hammers. I was pricking my finger, but you knew where the fan was. I had it laid out, but you knew what the plan was. 300 mil later, now you understand us. Y'all ain't see us coming to Vegas, you ever seen so much sham bust? In one night, grand fucked up one fight. I was on a Peter Pan bus. You was putting Peter Pan up in your room. Y'all fucking with whom? Allow me to be taught. You cowards is just now learning the shit that we taught. You niggas ain't know about a ride report. by the high-speed Porsche, i.e., you niggas ain't know how to floss, so I came through the door like Eric B. for press. Respect me in this bitch. You can't disrespect us cause you got a little check cut. You was sucking for so long, fucking your little neck up. Now you're too big for your britches. You got a few little bitches you think you have, but you just ridiculous. I blew breath for you bitches. I gave life to the game. It's only right, I got the right to be king. Niggas that got life really like what I sing, cause they know what you really like. Niggas feel my pain. Know the shit I don't write be the illest shit that's ever been recited in the game. Works to the hyphen in my name. J-A-Y-Hoffa, the past, present, nigga, the future, proper. The holy trinity of hip-hop is us. We give Dre his props, but that's where it stops. It's the rock.
I know.